You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You're invited to come experience the power of God. Miracles still happen. And on October the 10th, mark your calendars, One Night of Miracles will be held at the Port St. Lucie Civic Center in Port St. Lucie, Florida at 7 p.m. It's free admission. For more information, call 561-337-9018 or visit our website, powerevangelism.net. Miracles still happening.
God has given us power and authority to renounce and defeat the enemy and stop him from tormenting us.
October 10th in Port St. Lucie, Florida, both free admission. Don't forget to call us 561-337-9018 or go to our website, powerevangelism.net.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. So we welcome and greet all you, no matter where you are, if you're on your home, listening on the radio, out in the car, listening on the radio, if you're on the internet, wherever you may be, we just greet you to the program, and we're honored to be here with you. Pastor Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida. We have for, it's going to be 23 years here in a couple months, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. So we're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we've called this program from the inception, Raising the Standard. 18 plus years we've been doing that, haven't we, Pastor Donna? So we're honored to be here with you today. We hope, as I said, you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And it's enjoyable to teach on these things that God has in the Word of God. But it's a shame that so many people have been robbed of our Jewish understanding because of what the church has done down through the years. But it's being renewed in a lot of areas. And, I'm just thinking about something here, Pastor Donna, as we're talking about this. I'm going to go over to the book of Acts here to open up with you for a moment. And then Donna's going to make an announcement or two here for us about what we're going to do tomorrow and all that. But I wanted to show you something here I thought was very good. Hallelujah. It's in Acts chapter 3. If you're at home, open up a Bible. I'm going to start reading in verse 19. Listen to this. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Peter says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And when we all, if you remember when you got born again, there was a time of refreshing. I'll never forget it. And then verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you," now listen to this, "whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Isn't that incredible? So he says he's going to remain in heaven, hallelujah, until what?
Amen.
Until the restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So we're going to talk about some interesting things today about the Feast of Tabernacles. And Pastor Donna's making up a new calendar. Well, if you would like to have one of those are free. All we ask you to do is maybe send a self-addressed envelope and ask for a calendar, and we'll be glad to give it to you. Because we do the Gregorian calendar with the Jewish lunar calendar superimposed on top of each other, so you can see what it's all about.
It's all right. Just give us a call.
That's right. Okay. This is an interesting scripture we just read there about the restitution of all things.
All things.
And so what's being restored? We know that a lot of the teaching that Yeshua brought in place today, or years ago for us today, I should say, is being restored, especially the Jewish roots, the last 15 years, more and more people are getting interested in that, and God wants us to be interested in it. Amen? So Pastor Donna, she's got some announcements to make here, and then we'll go on. We'll teach some things about tabernacles today.
Now, we're excited about tabernacles. It Amen. Is the most joyful time of the year, and you're going to find out why and how important it is, not only to Jewish people, but especially to Christians, especially those who believe in Yeshua.
That's
Amen?
Right.
Well, I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We meet with the Lord every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And we have Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of Prophecy. That's the name of the church, Spirit of Prophecy, right out of Revelation 19, verse 10, chapter 19, verse 10. And so we also come together on Friday nights at 7 p.m. And we celebrate, we have communion, and we celebrate the Sabbath, and we come into rest. You know, God has given the Sabbath to man for him, for rest, amen, forever. It's not just for, it wasn't just for a short time or just for a few thousand years. No, it's forever and ever.
It'll never change.
And the number seven represents so many things, and one of them is rest.
That's right.
One of them is rest. Mm-hmm. God wants us to learn how to rest, especially how to learn how to rest in him, amen. And then today is Saturday, praise God. We will have class this afternoon at 4, and Pastor Gene, we will continue to teach on what we're teaching now, and a lot more, because he'll be teaching for 2 hours.
And on tabernacles.
On tabernacles, and we celebrate tabernacles, and this weekend we have a tabernacle in the church, in the building, where we come together to worship God. We have a tabernacle. We have built a tabernacle inside, and many of us go into that tabernacle, and wow, what an anointing. You just can feel the presence of the Lord. And there's many things in the tabernacle that you will, if you come, you'll see what's in there. And one thing that's in there is there's a feeding trough.
That's right.
With a little baby in it.
Amen.
Wow. Well, you know, people put mangers up in December. Well, this isn't December. No, but this is the time of the birth of Christ.
That's right.
So we celebrate that. Plus, you're going to find out what else we celebrate at Feast of Tabernacles and what else the Jewish people have celebrated for years down through time. If their eyes would only be open to see
that
God started something then, and he will finish it also then, with concerning his Son, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
So that will be this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So you come. I know you will be blessed, and you will learn a lot. And you may change your thought about how you celebrate things, because many, many Christians celebrate things that are pagan.
They're really pagan. They're made by man.
A lot of paganists and paganism, and it's not pleasing to God. So that will be at 4 o'clock, and then after that we will have a meal, a delicious meal, and we will close out the Sabbath, and that will be the rest of our day. Amen.
Amen.
So come if you can, and if you can't, well, you just listen, and perhaps you can get some more study and you can know more about it. Pastor Gene's going to be sharing today with out of his book, his commentary, the commentary that he wrote many, many years ago, and of course he's always adding to it, you know. So you can have this commentary, and it has all the feasts of the Lord, including the one we're going to talk about today. And it has many, many more things I don't have time to explain, but you can always call us and we can tell you what it has, and we can send you a flyer about it so you can know more about God's prophetic calendar, because that's what it's all about, God's prophetic calendar, his feast, how he's going to end these things and come to a conclusion. And we can see a lot of things happening right now that's in Ezekiel. You know, we're not going to talk about that today, but just watch the news. A lot of things are happening, and God is
all the players are in place.
That's right. It's like a chessboard. You know, I don't play chess, but you know that's what they say. But anyway, so come if you can. If you can't, enjoy this program, and we're also on the internet, so you can listen to it again, and you can tell your friends about it. We're on WCNO.com. If you'd like to listen to our radio broadcast on Saturdays, just go to Saturday and look for at 12 noon. You'll see Pastor Gene Hilton, and you'll see Raising the Standard. That's the name of this radio broadcast, Raising the Standard. That's what God's called us to do, to raise the standard in the body of Christ, and also to minister to Jew and Gentile, because the Bible says that we are one in Him, one in the Lord. So I want to give the telephone number. So if you'd like to call, you want more information, you want to know more about the church or about this ministry, give us a call. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we want to say hello to all of you out there. And we're praying. God is, God is even what's happening right now with this storm, Pastor Gene. I know we're not going to talk about this storm, but it's, our nation is set up for judgment if we don't repent.
It's going right up on the East Coast. And I believe there's going to be some selective judgment come because of the things that we've allowed to happen in our country. So,
right.
You as believers, we just have to continue to pray.
Right.
And we want to be in that remnant that God's going to take care of. And so, anyway, we're honored to be here with you. We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andrew Sound. I'm praying they don't have to take that tent down while they're building their church over there with the storm. I hope they won't have to do that, but we greet them and we keep them in prayer. And I want to say hello to my good friend Harley also. I'm glad he's listening in today as well. And so
we haven't said hello to Daryl and Judy in a while.
Yeah, up
there. And it's Daryl's birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Daryl.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Yeah. So we're honored to be here with you. So we're going to talk about some more things about tabernacles. So remember, it lasts for 7 days, and there's an eighth day also, which is called rejoicing in the Torah. And, tabernacles is really a picture, a pattern of the kingdom and the conclusion of everything. And it happens to be what? The seventh appointed time that God has in His holy word. Well, and so seven is always God's number of what? Fullness and completeness. But if there was such a thing as an eighth day, well, there will be, but it's going to go on for eternity. It won't just last for a few years. It's going to be on for eternity. But then when the kingdom comes, the eighth day is really, when you think about it prophetically, what is it? It's God's perfection. It's His perfection at that time. And so we're so honored to know about all these things. It makes us joy in our heart to understand where we're at, even on God's timetable right now. And so here we are again on another Feast of Tabernacles, and the Jewish people rehearse it and go through it every year, but one day it's going to be the real thing that will be established. And in Israel right now, the Jewish people are dancing in the streets, they're singing, they're blowing shofars, and whoa, what an incredible time. I've been to Israel twice, and the last time I went was at Purim, but I'd like to go one year, during the Feast of Tabernacles, and if not in my life, then it's my physical life now, but when we get changed one day, we'll all be there and get to see that, because that's God's city, and His hand is on that city, and no nation, no kingdom, no nothing's ever going to take that city away from God's people, because God ordained it, gave it to them, and God, we thank You for that. And so we stay with Israel, we love Israel and the Jewish people, and I tell you all the time, if you're born again, you may not be Jewish, but we're grafted in, so that means we're a spiritual Jew with Him. So all the blessings that was given to Abraham, as Paul wrote in Corinthians, is yea and amen for us today. So we receive everything that God put in place. So why don't we find out more about what He put in place and understand it through a Jewish understanding and what God gave the Jewish people for us to glean from. And as I've said so many times on this program, we've been totally robbed of our Jewish understanding. We've been totally robbed because of what the church has done down through all these years, starting back in 325 AD when the universal church started, and it was called Catholicism. It's what it means, a universal church. And so everything was changed at that time from the early church. And so we want to move on. The truth will make us free. And the Bible talks about, Peter talked about having present truth. Well, everything in this book we have is present truth, but even more so today, because we're seeing the conclusion of all these things that are about to come upon the earth. So we close our program every week. We tell you all, look up, because your redemption, what? Draweth nigh. So it's incredible to think about where we're at. So we just finished the Shemitah year now. Well, nothing's happened as far as we know right now, but we're just going to go on with the Lord. So we're starting another 7-year cycle again, and then back in, or when it comes to the year 2022 or 2023, about that time, we're going to have another completion of a Shemitah as well. And I believe this next one is going to really be important. But in the meantime, we have to serve God, walk with Him. We want to be in the remnant that the Bible talks about. There will be a remnant of those that He shall call, it tells us in Joel, and also in the book of Acts when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost.
I believe a lot of things have happened on Little 29, but you know, it's like the chessboard. Sometimes you don't see all the pieces and how they're working together.
Right.
But as we can see some of the things that did happen during that week, I think that God's going to start to put the players are on the board. I think the players are already on the board.
Right.
And we can see what's happening with even the people that have been speaking at the United Nations these last few days.
Yeah.
You know, now Benjamin Netanyahu is there. And
strong.
He's very upset. You know, he had 45 seconds of total silence.
Just looking at those people out there.
You know, and he really rebuked everyone there. And so
what they were trying to do to Israel.
What is the world, the nations of the world, what are they doing? They're coming against Israel.
They're ganging up on
them. It looks like every single one of them, including the United States.
That's right.
As far as now, we know there's
people
here.
Try to tell them what to do.
We pray for Israel, and the Bible commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But, you know, if we watch and we keep our eye on the news and also what the Lord is saying to us, you know, we have to have spiritual eyes, but we still have natural eyes. We can see what's happening in the world. And these things that have happened since this past week, many
That's
things
right.
have happened this past week. So
even the blood moon, yeah.
And on the blood moon is things too. So I think as the players are on the table, and prophetically the people will begin to see the moves that they're making, because you know they get there and there's certain moves that are made. If you play a game, you know, you don't always anticipate, but you can kind of anticipate what your opponent, your enemy, would be doing. So we'll just have to wait and see and talk more about that at another time.
The Bible talks about the heavens.
The heavens declare.
In Joel chapter 2, and it's talked about also in Acts chapter 1, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. This is talking about Jacob's trouble and all that.
Yes.
Why? The sun will be darkened, okay? So there's going to be a solar eclipse, and also the moon will turn blood red, which is going to show in a lunar eclipse. So we just had that one, the fourth one in 2 years. So.
And you know, there's a flag flying over the UN right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is really a, you know, flags mean something.
That's right.
They make declarations. You don't always have to say something to make a declaration, but there is a Palestine flag flying over the United Nations
right now.
And I'm just even surprised that even Benjamin Netanyahu would even come to the United States to
come to
the United Nations.
Right.
As bad as, you know, we have. The world is treating him. You know, they're flying over areas that are so close that, you know, they could. But for God, God's their defense,
and
He says, you know, He's strong. He's strong.
But there's still bombs being shot into Israel every day.
And I believe He knows what the Word
That's
says,
right.
and He knows that God.
Well, anyway, He gave him a great
rebuke,
didn't He?
Yes,
so
He
if
did.
So if you didn't hear what He had to say, you can pull it up on the internet and listen to what He had to say. But I tell you, He was laying it down. What's going on in the world about the nation of Israel, and that's God's. Country, and it says when you touch Israel, you're poking God in the pupil of His eye.
That's right.
And so we don't want to poke Him in the eye.
Okay.
And so we want to have the right kind of prayers, and I believe we're praying the right way for Israel because we know what God wants with them. He wants them to all come to Yeshua. The kingdom's going to be established. And so all the surrounding enemies, God's going to take care of all that. We can read that in Revelation chapter 19 and 20 over there when all those nations will surround Jerusalem. But who's going to win the battle? Christ, Yeshua, our Messiah is going to be the one that's going to win the battle. And we're going to get to come back with Him on those white horses and see this event happen. And so God will establish His kingdom. And that little piece of land they have right now called Israel is not any ways near all the land that God's going to have for them. They've got so much more that's going to be theirs. And so He said it in Genesis chapter 15 with Abram when He put him to sleep. And so it's going to happen exactly the way God said. So man can finagle and try to make treaties and try to divide the city of Jerusalem and try to do all these things, but God will have His way no matter what man may think or do. So what we got to do is get on the path of the Lord and not on the path of the world. We got to be on His path, what His plan, what His purpose is. And as we do, we're going to be blessed with everything that we're involved with. And so we love Israel. We pray for them all the time. We lift up Benjamin Netanyahu a lot on Friday nights when we have our Shabbat. And he needs strength, and so I praise God that he got reelected, and even our country sent an enclave of people over to Jerusalem before the election, and in Israel to try to somehow remove Netanyahu from being in office. Well, it looked like it was he might have for a while, but I'll tell you, when it's all over, he won by a landslide. So the people know that he's a great man and his heart is for his people. And like he says, no matter what the world says, we're going to defend ourselves and our people, and that's what they will do. And remember this, that God is on their side, even though they're in disobedience in so many areas, we know that, but God is still on their side. And we give you praise for that, Father God. And
you know, this hurricane is the first one that I've known of this that has the name of a male.
That's right.
Aren't they all named female names?
Everyone.
This is the first one that I've heard of that has a male. A
think
male.
About all
meaning.
The ones we had. They've had Francis, right. And Jean, know, a girl's name, and you Wilma.
Know, and you know, it comes from the Spanish name, and also from Hebrew originally, and it means that it's lifted up by Yahweh.
Amen.
Lifted up by Yahweh is one of the meanings.
Right.
So, you know, God knows exactly God's in control of everything.
But what I wanted to, while I was talking about there, I want to make another request for you to listen. If you're a part of the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and you're in, you're going to church, we have a lot of denominations today that are turning away from Israel.
Right.
We must continue to pray for them. And if I was in a church like that, I would leave. I would never stay in a church that was saying that God's done with Israel. You need to continue to pray for Israel. It's mandatory that the body of Christ begins to pray for the nation of Israel. That's our foundation that we're living on. That's what God put in place for all mankind to come to the Messiah. And with all these appointed times we've been talking about over the months here, especially in the last three here, well, they're all what? Directing us to the Messiah. It's all about the Messiah. It's what it's teaching us about Yeshua.
And the church has not replaced Israel.
They sure haven't.
No, it has
no
not.
No way. There's no such thing as replacement theology.
That's right.
How do they get through Romans chapter 10 and 11? You can't. You means you have to allegorize some things or whatever. He's promised that. And so glory be to God.
And Paul says for the Jew and the Greek, for male and female.
That's right.
Praise God. Well,
we're going to talk about a few things here about
tabernacles.
About tabernacles. And I was thinking this morning when I got up, and it's in my book. If you'd like to get this book, we offer this for $25 plus $3 for shipping and handling. I had a lady there call yesterday from Georgia. We got one several years ago. Wants another book. So we'll get that mailed out to her. But anyway, In tabernacles.
You know what? They're teaching it in their Baptist church.
In their Baptist church. They've done it before. They're going to do it again.
Yes. So, you know, this book is not a denomination. It's just the Word of God. It's just the Bible. That's
all it is.
And everything is backed up by verses, you know, not just one, but more than one. So it's just teaching us the Bible,
that's
basically,
right.
From the calendar, God's calendar, from Genesis to Revelation.
We're not going to allegorize anything, and we're going to take it literally for what it says, and that's what we have to do. We can't do all the stuff that people are doing with numbers and all this. You can't do it. We take it literally.
So it's a complete course on
that's
the
right.
Feast of the Lord, plus other things as well, many
so
other
if
things.
If you'd like to have that, just make out a check for $28, mail it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida,
mm-hmm.
and the zip is 34995, and I'll get you a book out. And this was a lot of years of study, and we're finding out more things all the time.
Amen.
That's why we have it kind of in a loose, or one of these ring binders in it, so it's not in a hardback, so we can add to.
Well, that's not a loose ring binder.
Well, what would you
that's
call it?
A spiral.
A spiral, I should say, right. A spiral, it's not a loose leaf, but it's easy to take it apart and change it, put some new things in if you want to do that, and we've done that. We've added three appendixes to this book since I started. We've got one on the biblical dates of Yeshua's conception. We might talk about that a little bit today, and his birth. Another appendix on the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. It's kind of out in error, a lot of errors. And the third one I've got is about the Torah. Is the Torah, the teaching instruction of God, is it invalid today? Was it not good for us, you know?
Did we have a Bible?
Yeah. Was it faulty? Was it faulty? No. So you can read all those things. Well,
yeah,
anyway,
let's
like
talk about the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right. In the book, under Roman numeral 5, if you have the book, you can always get it. There's six things that God talks about, okay, that are all themes and idioms about Sukkot. And so what is Sukkot all about? God wanted them to remember what he did for those 40 years while they wandered around in the wilderness. He took care of them. He gave them manna every day. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. So he took care of them for 40 years. And so God wants them to never forget that.
They lived
that.
In a tent.
That's right.
It's called Sukkot.
And he met all their needs. So when we get to the kingdom, he's going to do the same thing. All our needs will be met. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow. None of this will be there.
And he's building us a place.
That's right.
Instantly.
He's already got it built if you're born again. He's got a mansion in heaven for you
mansion
right now.
Mansion in heaven.
Hallelujah. So let's look at this. There's six of them. I'm going to mention the six, and then we'll talk about them. I don't know if we'll get through all six of these. Probably won't. But we're going to look at some scriptures. Here they are. The first theme here is the season of our joy. The second one is called the festival of ingathering. The third one, the feast of the nations. The fourth one, the festival of dedication. The fifth thing, the festival of water pouring. And then the last one, the festival of lights. Because Jesus was what? He's the light of the world.
He's okay. The light of the world.
So let's take this first one, the season of our joy. Let's go open up your Bible if you're at home. Now, if you're out in the car, don't start bringing it up on your phone or anything. Just keep driving. You can get a copy of what we're talking about today. All we ask for is a love offering. And you make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. Zip is 34995, and we'll get it out to you.
Uh-huh.
So let's go to Luke, honey. Pastor Dunn, let's go over to Luke chapter 2, and let's look and see what the Gospels have to say.
The Gospels talk about the Feast of Tabernacles.
That's
yes,
right.
And the Feast
sure
of Tabernacles
does.
Started
right.
When they came out, after they came out of those 40 years of wandering around
in
through
God.
The desert. It's so you can go over and look at it in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Tells you all about how God started the Feast
God
of Tabernacles.
God put it all together, all those appointed times.
That's right. And where are we going, Luke?
Luke chapter 2. Now, I'm going
to,
we may talk about this a little bit, because remember, we've talked about this a lot. Jesus was not born on December 25th.
And that's the main thing that Christians need to know.
They need to know.
Jesus was not born in December.
He was not born in December, okay? This was in the wintertime.
The Bible proves it.
We're going to find out that there's going to be shepherds out in the fields and all. They didn't do that in the wintertime, okay?
That's right.
And so we're going to find this out. So this was a pagan holiday that was made up by man.
And they didn't have tabernacles in the wintertime. Can you imagine them out in the tabernacle? Because, you know, right now there's tabernacles in Israel built on balconies in backyards, on top of buildings, tall buildings.
That's
you know, several stories high buildings. Wherever they can find a place to put up a small tabernacle, it could be 10 by 10, 12 by 12.
That's right.
It's covered on the three sides, open on one side, and the roof is open so you can see the stars.
That's right.
They eat in there, sleep in there, pray in there, have joy in there. They can look up at the stars at nighttime, sleep in there, they can see the stars. It's a joyful time. And many people here in the United States and other countries also do this, mostly
sure.
Jews. Some Christians do because they understand what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. You know, Yeshua was placed in a tabernacle.
That's right.
At this time.
And you can check and read over in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 33. It talks about a state. It's a sukkah where they kept animals,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so it's interesting.
Like a small stable.
Yeah, like a small stable. So I'm in Luke chapter 2. Let's look at this for a moment. I want to go to...
came humbly. It's a picture of his, how he came.
That's right.
Humble. He came humbly.
Didn't come as a king,
wasn't
did he? That's
in,
right.
No, he
That's
didn't.
Right.
He wasn't born in a palace.
That's right. I'm going to start in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So they were in the country. So remember, they weren't doing this in the middle of winter. It's cold, okay? Now, 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, remember, tabernacles is called, we just said this, the season of our joy.
It's the most joyful feast.
And the great joy here was that the Messiah was going to be born at this time.
Amen.
And also, so it was a season of great joy. So
verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
That's right.
And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find him, the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. At this time of the year, swaddling clothes are the undergarments of the priests. They took, after they used them, they would tear them into strips, and this baby was wrapped in the priestly garments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's showing a sign. It's a sign. He's the priest, wrapped
right.
in these garments that were used by the priest. Also in the tabernacles at this time, in the court of the women, they set up four huge lights that are 75 feet high. That's high. Even in Jerusalem, this is in Jerusalem, but the people in Bethlehem could see them. People all around could see them.
Those days they could see it for miles.
And what did they wrap those wicks with? Meaning that he's come to the for the whole world. Four corners, it stands for the whole world, you know, mm-hmm. the four corners of the world. And so the people could see it from all around, all everywhere around. And these were wrapped at the top. They were wrapped in swaddling clothes, and oil mm-hmm. was poured on them. He is the oil. He is our anointing. You know, there's so much in this to show us that, you know, here's Jesus. They even say he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying right. in a manger.
A feeding trough.
This manger was in a feeding trough, and it was in
a sukkah,
or mm-hmm. what you would call, we call a tabernacle. Or, you know, you could call it a tent type. It's something small, something, you know, that, like I said, not a palace. And there were a lot of people coming to Bethlehem at that time, going to Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
Because it was a Feast of Tabernacles, and that's one of the three feasts that men are commanded to come.
That's why this appointed time is called Sukkot.
Sukkot.
It's the plural of Sukkah. Okay.
Sukkah.
Because a lot of people are building over there's not a sin. So this shows you right here, it was a season of our joy. And it's not only the time of the year, but it's also referring to when the Messiah came, there was a joy for some people that knew he was coming, like Simeon and Anna, that held him in their arms and all that. So it's incredible.
So we need to realize it wasn't in the winter. It was in this time of the year, in the fall.
Be our September, October, yeah.
Right, and you know the shepherds were out in the
field
with their animals, with
That's
their flocks,
right.
And so that gives us the timing. It's important to know the timing, and you know God doesn't leave anything out.
That's right.
He doesn't leave anything out.
Now the next theme is called the Festival of Ingathering. We need to go over to Exodus chapter 23 with you. Let's see this in the Word of God. We're looking at this with the Word of God. Now, when I wrote this book, I've told you this before, I didn't take one verse out of context. The Lord told me, he says, write it and make sure you have at least two witnesses to what you're trying to bring forth
Amen.
Here, and I'll give it to you out of my word, and he always does.
That's right.
Let's go to Exodus chapter 23, and let's see what God did here. We're going to start in verse, Pastor Donnie, you want to read that? We're going to read verses 14 through 17 about the festival of ingathering. Go ahead.
14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year.
These are all the males, weren't
That's
they?
Right. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Those shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the same time appointed of the month of Abib.
Abib. Remember now, that word a month of Abib is also pronounced
Nisan.
And it's also can be called Aviv. Okay.
Aviv. Right. And which is what we call now the month of Nisan.
Right. It's changed after the captivity of 70 years to Nisan.
And that's the time that Jesus died
right.
during that month. Yeah. Well, you know, mentioned also it says for 7 days.
That's right.
A lot of things for 7 days. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty.
Okay, let's go on.
Number 6 to 16. And the Feast of Harvest.
There we go.
This is the Feast of Tabernacles. The first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering.
There we go.
Ingathering, which is in the end of the year.
There you go.
When thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. That means the end of the year, like the summer has passed. It's now in, now it's fall. And it says 17, three times in the year, in all thy males shall appear before the Lord God.
That's right. So here this is in the month of Tishri. You know, it's the beginning on the civil calendar of the Jewish time. But now we know since Exodus chapter 12, this was talking about an end prophecy of the end gathering at the end. Now, I want you to notice something here in verse 16. It says, in the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labors. Remember, these are three appointed times that God had all the males come to Jerusalem. They all were what you call a first fruits appointed time. They had to bring a first fruits in first. I think that's a pattern, a picture of the resurrection and the catching away and all of those. And so they were important. It was in what? Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and also what? At Tabernacles. They had to have them, all the males had to be there. Amen? Verse 17, Donna read that. Let's read it again. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits, here we are, of thy land, thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see. That means to boil a kid in his mother's milk and so on. Mm-hmm. So here we are. This is called the Festival of Then Gathering. Well, think about it. In the end of the age, when we come to this, at the end of Jacob's trouble, Matthew 25 tells us that passage, where God's going to separate what? The goat nations from the sheep nations. Well, this is going to be, this is talking about the end gathering. So why would it be called the end gathering? Well, think about this. All the crops come to full maturity, and at that time during the Feast of Tabernacles, all the grapes, the figs, the wheat, the summer wheat, all this all is matured and is gathered in to the barns and all at that time of the year.
So this is the wheat. See, during the Passover time, it's the barley.
That's
it would
right.
be like the first, mm-hmm. the first of the fruits, you know.
That's right.
But this is the wheat. This is at the end of the time, the wheat harvest.
That's
and
right.
like you said, the grapes, mm-hmm. all the grapes and all the things that come to full maturity at this
fall.
Time in the mm-hmm. fall.
That's right.
So here we are.
Now the next one I want to talk about, the third one, is called the Feast of the Nations. Now we have to go over to the book of Zechariah to see this in complete fulfillment here. And I want you to go to Numbers 29, and I'm going to turn, we've got two groups of scriptures we need to look at. We're going to look at Numbers 29 first, and then I'm turning to Zechariah, and we want to see how the fulfillment of all this is revealed in the Bible, okay?
29 what?
I want you to read verses, let's do it. Let's read verses 12 through 35 about these.
12 through 35?
Yeah. Or just read part of it, and we'll talk about it.
That's a lot of reading,
yeah,
Pastor
Gene. Just start in verse 12, that's right.
Thank you, Lord.
We'll shorten it up.
Yes, and I don't have my right glasses on here.
29:12. We'll start.
29:12, and on the 15th day of the seventh month.
Okay, what day is that now on the Jewish calendar? The 15th day of the seventh month. What is that?
Tishri 15. That's a full moon.
That's a full moon.
See, I know that. You shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, and you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. The Feast of Tabernacles. Here we go again.
Here we go.
Okay.
Go on.
Well, then it talks about all the animals. I don't think we need to read all that.
Let's just explain it.
Why don't you explain that?
What this is going to reveal here is during these 7 days, the Jewish people had to sacrifice 70 bulls, not goats or lambs, but 70 bulls during that time. Well, what was that all about? It was because of the 70 nations that were in place when God spoke from Mount Sinai, and he spoke to all the Gentile world plus the Jewish people at that time when he spoke from the mountain. But the only people that said, we'll do it, was the Jewish people. But God wants to honor the Gentiles is going to come in as well at the end. And so he had them sacrifice 70 bulls during those 7 days. And what for? To remember the nations, the Gentile nations that will come into the kingdom of God. It's incredible. So God has never forgot the Gentiles, okay? Now I'm in Zechariah. Let's look at this now. Zechariah chapter 14. May I let you read that yourself, honey?
No, go ahead.
All right.
Read it.
Zechariah chapter 14, the last chapter of the book of Zechariah, verses 16 through 18 is very important. Okay? Now here we go. This is called the Feast of the Nations. And it shall come to pass that every one of the people that is left of all the nations, nations plural means the Gentile nations, which came up against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Did you hear that? The Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. There's going to be a curse put on the land. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be a plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the second time it's been mentioned. Verse 19. Glory be to God. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep what? The Feast of Tabernacles. Three times it's mentioned. So that's called the Feast of the Nations. After everything's established, they're going to be required to come up there every year to honor the Feast of Tabernacles, which is called the Festival of the Feast of Nations. Now the next one we want to talk about, number four, is called the Festival of Dedication. Now for that one, we have to go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. See how the Bible works together? You know, the old and the new, they complement each other. They totally complement one another. So I'm going to go over to 2 Chronicles with you. I should have put a marker in my Bible here for time's sake, but I didn't do it. So I'm going to go over to chapter 7. And this is an interesting thing to think about with chapter 7, because we know this is the chapter that we get verse 14 out of. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, see, not his hand, but his face, to be in his presence, and turn means to shew it, to repent from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And he says, now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. So wherever we pray, God's right there. But now we're looking here, we're talking about the festival of dedication. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to read the whole thing. This is very important. Chapter 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Listen to this now real carefully. If you got your Bible, ask the Lord to show you something prophetically as we go through this. Now when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. This is when the house was going to be dedicated in the first covenant. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice, listen to this, of 22,000 oxen. Can you imagine? 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep on that day. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priests waited on their offices. The Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made. He invented a lot of musical instruments to praise the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood on their feet. Moreover, Solomon hollowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat offerings. There were so many that one altar couldn't handle it. Verse 8, also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days. What feast is this? This is the feast called Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering of Hamath into the river of Egypt. And in the eighth day, this is called Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah. In the eighth day, this is Tishri 22, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Whew! The solemn assembly. And on the 3 and 20th day, this would be the 23rd of Tishri, on the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Verse 11, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and his own house, he prosperously effected. Isn't that incredible? It's amazing. All right. So that was a feast of dedication when Solomon's temple was finished and completed and they dedicated it. All right. Now we have another. We talked about this last week. The festival of the water pouring. Let's go over it. We've got to go to John now, chapter 7. Let's go to John, chapter 7. This is very important for us today. And a lot of the church don't want to receive what Jesus said right here. It's for us today. Amen?
So they have the water pouring?
That's right. Water pouring.
Jesus talks about the water.
That's right.
Doesn't he?
That's right. So in John chapter 7, we mentioned this last week. Chapter 7, verse 2 tells you the time of the year. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So when is that? Tishri 15 to the 22nd.
Here it even gives the name.
That's
Feast
right.
of Tabernacles.
That's right.
So why don't Christians understand this and celebrate this? It's not just for the Jewish people. Because the feast of the Lord, it doesn't say the feast of the Jews. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible.
That's right.
It says the feast of
the Lord.
Lord. Who do we worship?
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all.
That's right.
King of kings and Lord of all. King of kings and Lord of lords. So this is telling us, hey, listen, open up your eyes. Open up your spiritual eyes. Learn to understand what God is saying about his holy feast.
That's right. And this is the culmination of all seven of them, like we mentioned. You know, seven is his completeness. Well, then if there will be an eighth, it'll go on forever. But think about it. That's the perfection that God's going to bring. It's getting revealed here. So in John chapter 7, look at verse 14. Now it says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and talked, probably on the fourth day, okay? Now we go over to verse 37. Pastor, no, you can start right there.
And, you know, oh my, the things he talks about.
That's right.
Wow. So we know this is on the Feast of Tabernacles.
It's all
so
in the tabernacle.
This lasted during 7 days plus one more day.
That's right.
And where am I going?
To verse 37. We're going to read 37 through 39 now. We talked about this last week a little bit.
And in the last day.
Now let's stop right there now. What was the last day of Tabernacles? What was it? It's not Tishri 22. It's not Simchat Torah. What is it? It's Tishri 21, the seventh day of the actual ceremonies that God had in place. All this, go ahead.
Jesus stood and cried. That means he yelled out. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. They understood about the water pouring.
Yep.
Because they would go to that pool of Siloam to get water.
Get water and all.
Amen. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now he's talking about something kind of water inside of you.
That's right.
You're not going to a pool anymore. You're drawing the water, the living water, from inside of you. You know, they were talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
That's right. It was going to come.
But this spake he of the Spirit, capital S, which they that believe on him, on Jesus, should receive. They hadn't received it yet.
Nope.
For the Holy Ghost, here it tells us exactly who it is, King James Bible, the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He hadn't died and risen from the dead yet. He hadn't gone back to his Father. Because he tells us later on that he has to go back to his Father and for them to wait and to tarry in Jerusalem for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So here he's talking about comparing this living water, that he's the living water.
It's like a river.
In other words, you're going to receive the river of living water.
That's right.
It's going to come out from you. You don't have to go to some well. You don't have to go to some pool. You don't have to travel to go get the water. You have the water. You ask Jesus in your heart, you have living water.
And you think about it.
And you can draw from it at any time.
That's right.
He says, you won't be thirsty anymore. What did he tell the woman at the well?
That's what I was going to talk about.
You're not going to be thirsty. You won't be thirsty
anymore.
You drink water. I go get me a glass of cold water. Well, I'm going to be thirsty in an hour or two, whatever. But this is a water that you don't ever run out.
That's right. Over there, she got a trickle. It's like a small well. But when this comes,
continual.
It's going to be a river, right?
It's a river. It's not a pond. It's not a dried up place. It's flowing. It's alive.
All the time.
Rivers are alive. It's not stagnant. It's moving.
Right.
And when we need to stir up. The Bible also says to stir up the gift that's within you. How? By
that's
praying
right.
in the Holy Ghost.
Makes me think about the scripture where it says the river of God is full all the time.
All the time. It's not empty.
Pouring, it's pouring. And he wants it to pour out of us all the time. Amen?
Amen.
So this is a powerful thing right here. And so we know that the Jewish people in Yeshua's day, they had a festival of water pouring that we talked about last week, okay, where they they brought the water and poured it on the water. Had two vessels. They brought in, poured the water on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
They put the willow branches when they came in, making that swooshing sound. It sounded like the wind of God over the altar, and they sacrificed. It's incredible.
But they didn't understand. But yet they were asking questions. So they had a thought in their mind: Is this the Christ? Is this the one that's going to come?
Mm-hmm.
Is this Him? So they were asking that. They knew about the prophecies about Bethlehem and they knew the scriptures. But, and many of the Jewish people believed. And, of course, many of them were really punished, crucified, became fearful because the Jews were going after and killing those who came to Christ.
That's right. But, when we think about all this, how important it is to understand it, but the depth of it is just, it's incredible when we think about what God's given us with all this. And so this
even Paul was an enemy of the cross.
That's right.
Until he had his conversion on the
that's
road.
That's right. Amen.
He was an enemy of the cross and
that's
he
right.
was out to kill them.
That's right.
But God he
intervened.
He intervened and he became the greatest. I mean, he would do anything. He took beatings, he was in jail, he was flogged, all kinds of things happened. But he never denied Christ, did he? He carried the gospel, and most of the Word of God is written by him.
That's right.
Because he received the revelation. So he spent time.
That's right. The interesting thing about the water pouring also, as we mentioned this last week, is that all the rabbis had to study all the scriptures, and you know, well, they didn't have the New Testament, all the scriptures that referred to any kind of water. Mm-hmm. And they knew it was a metaphor for the Spirit of God. So you would have thought when Jesus stood up and yelled and said this, they might have put two and two together, but they didn't.
That's probably why they asked the question. Because if you go ahead and read, they asked the question, you know.
Are you the
Is
Messiah?
Is this the Christ,
That's
you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Others said, some said, this is the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. So some said it. Even verse 42, he said, verse 41, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? See, they were questioning, they were debating. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? Well, they didn't they know that? And
out of the town of Bethlehem
mm-hmm. where David was.
Interesting thought here also. You know, they were sacrificing animals and lambs. Where did they raise those lambs at?
Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem. All a pattern where the Messiah was going to come
in
from.
In Bethlehem. And you know a Jew cannot go into Bethlehem right now?
That's right. They won't let him
when
in
When we were in Israel, Jewish people are not allowed to go into Bethlehem. The people who live in Bethlehem are Christians and Muslims.
That's it.
And that's it.
They have a gate there.
They have a gate, and they cannot go into Bethlehem.
It's a shame.
And this is where Yeshua was born. This is where the lambs
are raised.
So even if the temple was there now, they couldn't raise the animals and lambs in Bethlehem.
That's right. Unless they took care of the situation with the Islamic faith and all that.
Well, God's going to take care of all that. But now, things are different now than they were.
That's right. So they're limited. They can't even go up on the Temple Mount and pray at all. They're limited by all those things.
See, the enemy doesn't want them in Bethlehem, where the Christ was born. Where Christ was born. He doesn't want them up on top of the mountain, you know, to pray.
That's right.
But, you know, God is going to take care of all these things.
Like when we sit down to pray, sometimes the enemy will do a lot of things.
That's right. He doesn't want us to pray.
He wants to hinder us from praying to the God of this universe. Well, let's look at the sixth one. We're going to get through this. Okay. The sixth one we talked about last week a little bit was the Festival of Lights. Now, we're in John chapter 7. Let's go to John chapter 8 now.
And I mentioned a little bit about that.
This is on Tishri 22. That called Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah.
So okay. Simchat Torah is the eighth day, and we know eight is a number of new beginnings, right?
Right.
And so it's called Simchat Torah, and Simchat Torah means rejoicing in the Torah. And on my calendar, I'd say I put on there rejoicing in the Torah. Well, who is the Torah?
Yeshua.
Jesus. Yeshua is the Torah.
He's the Word.
So what are we doing? We're rejoicing in God our Savior.
Amen.
In God our Savior. So we didn't actually say this. We believe that Yeshua, Jesus, was born on the first day of Tabernacles.
That's right.
And on the eighth day of Tabernacles, every Jewish boy is circumcised.
Absolutely.
So that means there's bloodshed. There's a covenant. That
covenant
circumcision
made.
is a sign of a covenant.
Even Jesus did that.
And so on the eighth day, rejoicing in the Torah was circumcised.
That's
Yeshua
right.
was circumcised.
Yeah.
And when we come to Jesus, we get circumcised.
Hallelujah.
God wants
heart,
to circumcise our heart that we would believe, not the flesh, not the cutting of the flesh. You know, you can't do enough good works. You know, our righteousness is not in the law. Our righteousness, Jesus is our righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Our righteousness is in Him.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of righteousness comes into our heart. And so we're circumcised in our heart. So we need that. But see, on this eighth day, rejoicing in the Torah, when you received Jesus, did you not rejoice?
Sure
did. You not, hallelujah? Were you not afraid of your burden of sin, that bag that you were hauling around?
Felt so
when
fresh.
You came to the cross, when you gave it all to Jesus,
and
He
Lord.
Paid it for that on the cross. So here we are, rejoicing in the Torah. Yeshua was circumcised on that eighth day.
That's right.
Go ahead, Pastor Gene.
Well, now, we're going to go to chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, the verses before this, starting back in verse 37 that Donna read in chapter 7, was all talking about Tishri 21. Now, if we go to chapter 8, look at verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, so it was the next day. Now, this is Tishri 22. He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. All right? Now, I'm not going to talk. We talked about that last week, about the woman caught in adultery.
I want to mention this too, as we go on to read.
Okay.
22 is the number of 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet.
That's right.
And so Jesus fulfilled everything. The Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and the...
Aleph and the Tav.
Yeah.
The Alpha and Omega also.
Right. So from the beginning to the end,
that's right.
He fulfilled
everything.
Single thing. And it ended with the Tav. And you know what the Tav is a picture of, Pastor Gene? And it has been for years and years and years, and Jewish people just haven't seen it. It's the cross.
Cross. That's the original symbol.
The cross. See, when everything was taken where? Everything pointed to the cross. The very beginning of the Bible points to the cross, points to the blood. So he fulfilled every single thing that's talked about in this Bible.
That's right. Now we're going to look at just verse 12 all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of light.
Light.
Or light of life, I should say.
Life. So he is our life, and he is our light. And that was the eighth day. Those lights were still burning. Those four candelabras were still burning
in the temple area, in the court of the women.
And he's standing there, and he says, I can just see him stand, and he looks up to every corner. Can you see that? I am the light of the world. You've got these pillars standing this high, 75 feet high, but I am the light of the world, the four corners of the world. The gospel will go out to the four corners of the world, to every place.
That's right. I'm thinking about God's knowledge and all that. I've said this on this program.
There's a Hebrew word
pronounced emet, A-M-E-T. Mm-hmm. It starts with the Aleph and it ends with the Tav.
That's right.
And when you look at it, that it means truth.
Truth. He's
now,
the truth.
If you take, see, the Aleph is the letter that's in God's name. If we take the Aleph off of the beginning of that word, it is no longer truth. It becomes what? Death.
Death. And he's talking about life.
So he wants us to have everything from the beginning to the end. And if we don't have all of it, it can bring death in our life.
He says, I am the light of life.
Light of life.
He's our life.
That's it.
He is our eternal life. He is our only way to heaven.
He's our only
way to have eternal life.
That's right. We don't remove him out of anything. God wants us to know everything in the Torah from beginning to end. So it's incredible when we think about all that
God has
given us in the Word of God. But a lot of people just don't look at it that way. We just kind of take the Christian thought with all this. But God wants you to know that there's so much more for you to delve into and find out about our Messiah. He's our Redeemer.
So we talked about what happened coming out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we talked about during Jesus' life that he was born at Tabernacles.
Right.
And now a little later during his life, during his ministry time, even at Tabernacles, he talks again in the Tabernacle. And he's talking at the Feast of Tabernacles. And he's saying that he is the light of life. So here we've talked about different times, but different things that have happened during the Feast of Tabernacles.
That's right.
Well, you know, we're not finished. There's more things that are going to happen during the Feast of Tabernacles.
We talked about three things,
and we probably could cover some more of the things. There's a lot of things that happen during the Feast of Tabernacles.
You know,
it's every single year. So God has a timetable. He has a clock. He has a he doesn't have a literal clock, but he has a calendar. You know,
prophetic clock, right?
And so different things happen on different feast days. Now, our next one we're going to talk about will be that's coming up in December is
Hanukkah.
And so that's very important too, because that's when Jesus was
conceived. That's right.
So it's very important as well. You know,
without the
conception, you wouldn't have he wouldn't have been born, right?
Right.
So here's these feasts. So we need to know these things. So Gene's book is available to you. And I'm telling you, it's a good price. He spent hours and hours and hours.
Years on it.
And $28 is absolutely nothing.
Bargain.
It's, you know, it barely covers the cost of the book. And, you know, and that includes your shipping and all. So if you like that book, you just give us a call and you will have it in a day or two. You'll have it. So if you like that, and you can take this book and you can teach out of it, you know, and it's not copyright. You can copy pages. You can do
all the charts can be copied.
Yes, there's charts in the back. It'll be a blessing to you.
Amen.
Well, here we've come to the end of our time, but this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be here. Every Saturday, Lord willing. We're also on the internet. You can go to WCNO.com and hear this teaching again or listen to other teachings that we have done in the past. We do have services here in Stuart, Florida, at right on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza. So if you'd like to call us, we'll tell you how to get there. We'll be there this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We'll continue this teaching on the Feast of Tabernacles and get a little more into the depth
Come
of it.
Come if you want to find out more.
And then we will have dinner afterwards around 6 o'clock and close out the Shabbat. And again, tomorrow on Sunday, we will have we'll meet together at 10 a.m. So give us a call. Thank you for listening. We hope that you were blessed by this. And look up, because Jesus is coming back soon.
That's right.
If you're not saved, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Amen. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat, shalom, Sabbath, peace.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.